that we're having on and off technical issues this morning. Maybe they'll stay on for the next few minutes. I want us to think this morning for a little bit about somebody that reminds me of many of you. From the good side of things. You know, there's lots of people in the Bible that remind me of me on the places I don't want to be reminded of. But I want to share with you about a lady who's got it going on. She's got it together. And she reminds me of a whole lot of you. Let's look at our scripture together. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." One day he came there and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? What would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" And she said, "I dwell among my own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway and he said, "At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant." But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. We begin by looking at an unnamed wealthy woman. Some translations where this one says wealthy, some say great. The Greek equally translates in both ways. And as we just read these verses, I think we should understand that there must be something significant in this unnamed woman's life that God wants us to see. There must be something special about this woman that God would preserve this story for nearly 3,000 years so that you and I can look at it this morning. Must be something important there. Maybe so that you and I can imitate the greatness of her character. Maybe so we can apply some of this to our own lives. I think that it might be important for us to note who she is not, since we don't know who she is. So some things that we do know about her, some things that she is not. You see, it's going to become apparent to us that who she is not nearly as important as who she is not. She was wealthy. Or who she is not nearly as important as how she lived, is what I meant to say. She's a wealthy woman. Her money had not corrupted her. Her money had not become her God. Her money had not become that which just captivated her. We find that she knew Elisha was a genuine man of God. And I'm still studying on that one. I'm studying on it because I know she knows that Elisha was a genuine man of God, but I'm not sure how she figured that out. It must have come in bits and pieces. And as I see her understanding and knowing that Elisha indeed was a genuine man of God, it causes me pause and causes me to wonder how come so many people in the world today and so many people in our churches today are not able to tell the real from the fake. It causes me to wonder why so many people in our churches today are so easily taken in by the charlatans in the pulpit. You know, the guy that says, buy my bottle of oil for $9.99, and he'll send you a teaspoon-sized bottle full of Crisco that he bought at Walmart. And the guy that says, buy my handkerchief that I sweated over all night and it will heal you. Or the ones that say, buy my prayer cloth that I prayed over all night long and it will be sure to answer your prayers. And lest you think I don't know what I'm talking about, I remember so distinctly, not long after I came to faith in Jesus Christ, there was a couple in our church that were both right at 90 years old. And I don't know that I've ever known a more godly couple than what they were. And his health was failing rapidly, and so she wrote a letter to one of the TV evangelists that always made a big deal of their prayer group and how they would pray for people and how God would heal the people that they prayed for, and on and on and on. And I remember hearing his spiel. And so she wrote to him and asked him to please pray for her ailing husband. And she got a letter in return, and she was so excited when she saw the envelope and who it was from, and then she read the letter. And I won't quote it, memory fails me, but in essence it says, send us $100 and we will pray for your ailing husband. Wonder how many $100 they got. Bunches and bunches. People send hundreds of thousands of dollars for this junk to these fakes. Now, as we think about her, it's apparent that she was not of royal blood. God surely would have included that in the description. There's nothing that indicates that she had a high social status. She was a woman of means. Apparently, she was not strikingly beautiful as Sarah or Bathsheba or Esther. And she didn't lead people to God like the Samaritan woman did that Jesus encountered at the well. And there's no mention of her being a great teacher or a great judge. It doesn't even say that she was the mother of a child who would become great. It just says she had some money. That's all. And so Elisha, the traveling prophet, comes by. And the scripture says continuously, he traveled that route a lot. And she began to take notice that he traveled that route a lot. She began to see this. And so one day as he was traveling along the road, she went out to meet him and they had a conversation. And the scripture says that she urged him. She had to convince him to take time out of his day, convince him to take the time out of his journey, convince him that this was an appropriate place for him to stop and have a meal. And so he and his servant, his traveling companion, went in and ate. That's nice. Don't you like it when somebody fixes you a nice meal, invites you in for a little bit of fellowship? Big pot of chicken and dumplings and German sweet chocolate cake. Now, everybody just assumed I was talking about Evelyn. There's nothing to indicate that she knew who this man was. She didn't know his name. She didn't know where he was from. She didn't know where he was going. But she was concerned about him. How do I know that? She took time out of her life. She took food from her kitchen. She met with him. She talked with him. And she fed him. Too often we're only concerned with me and mine. Too often we're only concerned with what I've got and what I can get. What my family needs. Too often, if I don't know you and know a lot about you, I don't care about you. Too often, even if I do know who you are, I still don't care if you're outside of my family. But this woman just wanted to bless somebody. You got that? She just wanted to bless somebody. It got to the point that every time he passed by this way, he would stop and eat at this lady's home. I see a lot of respect coming from her to him. You know, you might invite somebody in once, twice. But if you invite them in repeatedly, it shows that you have a respect for who they are. You at least respect their personhood. You at least respect the fact that they are made in God's image. You at least respect the fact that He loves them just like He loves you. At some point along the way, she became convinced that he was a man of God. And then she began to be concerned about greater needs. Needs that went deeper than conversation, and needs that went deeper than food for the day. And so now she goes further in her care and her concern, and she speaks with her husband, and they decide that they're going to add a room to their house. They're not going to use a space that they already have. And remember, God thought it was significant to tell us that she was wealthy. They had money, so they didn't live in a one-room bungalow. But it was important that they did not use something they already had. It's important that they just didn't take a room and whenever you come by, throw a cot in there. It's important to understand that they decided they would add a room onto the house and they would furnish that room, and it would not be a general guest room. This would be a room that was designated for the man of God. That when he came by, whenever that was, that space, that room would be available to him and ready for him. Wow. She wanted to bless somebody. You know, there was no ulterior motive? None. She didn't want anything. She didn't ask for anything in return. She doesn't appear to be expecting anything. This is a woman who cares for other people. This is a woman who sees the things that she possesses, who sees her riches, who sees her money, who sees her home as an opportunity to bless other people. Wow. Is your home an opportunity to bless other people? Is your automobile an opportunity for you to bless other people? How about those things that you have for pleasure? Are they an opportunity for you to bless somebody else? Or are they just for you? This room was not in repayment for something Elisha had done for her. This room was not prepared and given to Elisha so that he might do something for her. She doesn't want anything except to bless somebody. You getting this? And so Elisha responded to her kindness and to her generosity, and he felt compelled to bless the woman for all that she had done for him. Now let's stop there for a minute. He felt compelled to do something for her because of all that she had done for him. I know people like that. I know people that you can't give them a sandwich unless they think they can pay you for it. Or if you give them a German sweet chocolate cake, they think they have to bring you a pound of bacon. Your eyes lit up, didn't it? Yeah. You know the kind. You do something for them and they stick a $20 bill in your hand or your pocket or your purse. Or you take them somewhere in the car and you won't let them buy the gas, and so they leave a $20 bill on the car seat when they get out. Oh, it fell out of my pocket. You know the kind. Don't be so selfish, folks. Don't think you got to repay everybody for them letting God use them to bless you. Don't steal their blessing away. God blesses us as we bless others. And if you don't let me bless you, you steal my blessing away. Don't do that. But Elisha went right on and did it anyhow. So he says to her, "What can I do for you? I don't need anything. I live in my homeland. I've got a nice house. I've got plenty of money. I don't need anything. I don't want anything from you. I just want to bless you." So he says, "You don't understand. I've got connections with the king. I know the commander-in-chief of the army. I can get you some special favors here in your town." "You don't understand, Elisha. I don't want anything." She just wanted to bless somebody. Now, don't miss what she's saying here. She's saying to Elisha, "Hey, look. I appreciate your offer, but I've got my home and my needs are provided for, and there really isn't anything you can do for me. I don't have a need that you can fill. We live in a world where everybody seems to want more and more and more. If they give you something, they want you to give them something bigger in return." But she knew how to give without expecting anything in return. That's what I said when we started. I want to talk to you about somebody that reminds me of so many of you. Because you know how to give without expecting something in return. You know how to bless somebody. And that's what she wanted to do. Paul writes in Philippians 4, 12, or 11 and 12, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." So what is the secret to contentment? I think it's one word. That's all right, Stan. Just leave that thing alone. It's not working well today. What is the secret to contentment? And that one word is perspective. How do you view things? Is the glass half full or is it half empty? Is the church house empty, or are there some people here? How do you view that? And it's a holiday weekend, and a lot of people are doing other things other than being in God's house today, in a lot of places. And so do I let that bother me, or am I eternally grateful for every single soul that's in this place today? Because God has brought us together to meet with one another, to draw strength from one another, to encourage one another, and to worship Him as He blesses us. How do you view it? You see, rather than being consumed by our own needs or our own desires, this lady, as many of you, simply enjoys ministering to other people. You know that? A week ago yesterday, 35 of you were out here sweating and working, and some of you outside over hot fires and grease buckets. Others of you cleaning up nasty, dirty dishes after people that slop food all over the place. And you were smiling and talking to people and sharing that free fish dinner and making contacts with people in the community just because what? You thought I was going to pay you for your day? You were doing it because you wanted to bless the community. And that's what you did. You see, the truth is, when we become consumed with our own needs, with our own desires, with our own problems, we cannot and we will not be involved in ministry. But when we have an attitude of wanting to bless somebody, we will look for opportunities to minister, and we will do just that. You know, ladies and gentlemen, ministry is always about somebody else and never about me. Ministry just wants to bless somebody. And truth is, it doesn't care who. It just wants to bless somebody. And doesn't care who is the recipient. I don't know about you, but I want my life to be about blessing somebody. You know? Yeah, I enjoy nice things like the rest of you do. Like everybody else does. It's really exciting to have a nice home to live in. It's not fancy, but it's really nice. Not expensive, but it's really nice. It's nice to have a decent, dependable automobile to ride around in. It's nice to be able to go someplace and eat dinner if I want to go someplace and eat dinner. All that's nice. But that's not what I want to be known about. That's not what I want people to understand is important to me. I want people to understand, and I want to be known because I want to bless somebody. Yes. I want to be the kind of person that God can prod just a little bit and my eyes be open to a need around me and try to meet that need. I want to be the kind of person that if the neighbor is sick and needs a good, hot, healthy dinner, I can fix that dinner or go buy that dinner, whichever, and take it to them. Or if the kid down the street needs a new pair of shoes and mom and daddy just really work hard and they don't have extra money to go buy that new pair of shoes right now, just go buy the pair of shoes. Or the school supplies or whatever. I want to be the kind of person that can sit down on the step and have a little kid or an old woman come and sit down beside me and feel safe. And cared for. That's what God's called us to be. That's how God's called us to relate to other people. You see, ministry just wants to bless somebody. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, Richard, I know you do too. I know that's your heart. Like I said, I'm talking about somebody this morning that reminds me of a lot of them. Our people. And as we wrap this thing up, I want you to know today, while you're in this place, God wants to bless you. First off, if you've never come to the place that Jesus was talking about when he said to Zacchaeus, you must be born again. He wants to bless you with forgiveness, with salvation, with life everlasting. And I know that he does because he says so in John 3:16 when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I want to ask you today, do you have that eternal life? Do you know for a fact that if you were to die today, you'd spend eternity in heaven? Yes. If you don't know that, you need to, and God wants you to, but you have to receive his gift of forgiveness. You have to confess your sin and your need to him and receive Christ as your Savior. And if you've got that assurance today, then no matter where you are in your Christian walk, no matter where you are between the cross and eternity, God wants to bless you with peace and with contentment. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, with Jesus as your Savior, you don't need to be afraid. I mentioned to you earlier about David Bradford. I haven't had a chance to talk with his family yet much, but the one thing I've been assured of is David was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so today, as his family is here, and this week as they prepare for all of the things that they'll be doing this week, and as we get to the service time on Friday, and then in the days and the weeks and the years and the months in the future, they have the blessing, the peace, the assurance from God. Not the kind of peace you can go down and buy at the grocery store. but the peace that comes from God and stills my soul and calms my spirit in such a way that I just can't hardly understand it. Because this husband, this dad, this son, this brother has stepped from this world to the throne room. And God wants to fill your lives with that kind of peace. Pray with me. Father, today, I'm so glad for the blessing you're pouring out in our lives. I'm so glad you're teaching us this lesson. I'm so glad so many people in our church have already learned that lesson because their lives are a testimony, just like the Shunammite woman, that they just want to bless somebody. And I thank you for them. And I just pray, God, that if there's one or two or three in this place that needs to know Jesus as Savior, that during these moments they might come and pray and receive Christ. And others that need a new touch of peace, that peace that goes beyond understanding, I pray that you would bless their hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.